Kathy, the Lord is so good in our lives and so patient with us. And thank you, Kathy, for sharing that. And kind of wish Chris was here today to have heard it. But wow, it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. This week has been a strange thing for me in a way. I was going to bring a different message this morning, and I was going to talk about the prodigal father. It's a great message. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, said to me, no. I had you in the book of Ephesians for a reason. And I also had you at chapter 5 for a reason. So turn there if you would. It wasn't audible, but the Holy Spirit impressed me to be here this morning. And this message has been preached to me, fellas, all week long. Now it's your turn. But God is so good. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's, if you're able to stand, if you would. We'd like to read this passage together. I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And now these next verses, he talks about light the whole time. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest in light, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I have a special prayer I want to pray with you, if you bow with me. Father, I pray for dads, new dads, granddads, stepdads, adoptive dads, and solo dads. Balding ones, beardy ones, skinny ones, and cuddly ones. Dads who tell bad jokes, and dads who just to pretend, like to pretend. Father, to the fatherless, I pray for those for whom this day is sadder than it is happy. Those who feel that they have failed. Those who are grieving children they never had. Those missing their dads or their children even more than usual. Father God, in a world where many fathers are distant, absent, or even abusive, I lean into your ever-present love. You are faithful, especially to those of us orphaned, abandoned, and hurt. Like the psalmist of old, I am comforted to know that even if my father abandons me, the Lord will hold me close. Father God, in a world where many fathers are distant, absent, or even abusive, I lean into your ever-present love. You are faithful, especially to those of us who are orphaned, abandoned, and hurt. Like the psalmist of old, I am comforted to know that even if my father abandons me, the Lord will hold me close. God, comfort us today. Help us as fathers and dads today, Lord, to reflect on the good things we have done. And Lord, we even ask you today, forgive us where we have failed you. And help us, Lord, in the days we have left upon this earth to overcome those things we left undone and do them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at the first verse in chapter 5, the word followers is there. It is the word in the Greek mimics. So it can be translated, be ye imitators of God as beloved children. You ever heard somebody say, well, he's like his father. He's like his granddad. You know, kids like to follow their dads around, especially boys. Well, this sets the theme for the first half of this chapter. Paul was saying children can be like their parents, like their dads. They can be, that can be an encouraging thing, or that can be an embarrassing thing for parents. You've seen little kids walking around and, you know, mimicking, being in dad's shoes. You ever seen a little kid, a boy, get his father's, you know, his slippers, especially, and follow his dad around? My dad made it real clear. I've told this before when I came. If I ever came home in the wrong condition, I was going to be hurting really bad. So I never did that. I wanted to be like my dad. He was big and he was strong and he was a pretty good looking guy. I don't know why I didn't get that, but you know, he smoked from the time he was 15 on the farm, and for the time he was 35, he tried and tried and tried to stop smoking. It just had him. So guess what I did? I didn't drink. He didn't drink. My dad, that was good enough. But if smoking was good enough for dad, I did. My neighbor and I got out behind a garden. It was his grandmother's house down the street from us. And we thought nobody could see us because he had beans. You know how the beans climb up? I'm trying to grow some of them now. If you got any hints, let me know. But his grandmother, Mrs. Martin, Grandma Martin, saw us. And we thought we got away with it. So she told his dad. Thank goodness she didn't tell my dad. Because even though he did it, he probably would have even been worse on me than that. But, well, children learn by watching and intimidating and imitating. So, if we're children of God, we're to imitate our Father, right? Our Father, our Heavenly Father. Paul gives us three admonitions here in this section. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 said, God is love. So therefore we walk in love. Ephesians 1 and verses 1 and 2, look at them again. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, therefore walk as children of the light. And if we look at here in Ephesians from verses 3 to 14 in our passage this morning, it all deals with light. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says, God is truth. God is love, God is light, and God is truth. Therefore, walk in wisdom, he says. All of these admonitions add up to Paul's calling us to walk in purity. Dad, granddad, myself. This week I just kept thinking about, I've got seven grandchildren. We have an eighth one on the way. And I got to thinking about where I made some mistakes with my three daughters, where I was not as focused as I should have been. And I was really convicted this week about getting into the lives of these children. It's my responsibility. I'm their grandfather. And my daughters, I'm still their father. They may be gone, but I still have God's blessing, but I also have God's mandate on me to be their father. Well, we're going to look at these admonitions that Paul gave here one at a time. And the first one is walk in love. There's no chapter divisions here. It's between these lines. So chapter 4, where Paul warned us against bitterness and anger. Remember last week, if you remember the message. It's disheartening when these attitudes show up in Christian families. But I've seen it as a pastor in weddings, how families squabble. How I've seen it in funerals. You'd think that with the joy of a wedding and in the seriousness of a funeral, people would love each other through it. It's a hard time. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, charity or love shall cover a multitude of sins. Paul gives us three reasons here why a Christian should walk in love. Number one, we're God's child. We're to teach our children. As God's children, we love. You know, I think that's, if you had a dad that was very, very strict, my dad was strict. He could break a branch off a tree real quick. But through faith in Christ, 2 Peter 1, 4 says, you are a partaker of the divine nature. And since God is love, it makes sense for his children to walk in love. God doesn't ask you to do something that is foreign to your Christian life. Because we now have a new nature. Dad, and that new nature expresses itself in love. The old nature is selfish. The new nature, you know, builds walls and declares wars. But the new nature, the old nature declares wars. But the new nature is loving and kind and builds bridges and proclaims peace. Number two, he is God's beloved child here. Ephesians 5:2 says, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And our children need to know how valuable they are and how beloved they are to God and to you. Teach them to be imitators of God as beloved children. God speaks to us the same way he spoke to his beloved son in Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved son. And we are his children. Well, what does John 17:23 say? It says, God, Jesus says in the last part of that verse to his father, he says, you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. We talked about that last week. God the Father loves us like he loved his dear son. Think about that. John 17:23, what a promise. If he loves us that much, how can we not as a result of that great love, show him love by the way that we live with our families, with our children. Dad, we're made in the image of God. What more can the Father do to show us his love? Is he asking too much of us to ask us to walk in love, to please him? Well, they watch me, and Dad, they watch you. Granddads, your grandchildren are watching you. Number three, he or she was purchased with a great price. John 15:13 says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Dad, granddad, would you lay down your life for your child or your grandchild? Romans 5:10 tells us that he laid down his life for his enemies. We can only love him because he first loved us. That's our response. At the end of Ephesians 5:2, Paul compares Christ's sacrifice to the sweet aroma of the sacrifices that were offered in the temple in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9. And the idea there is the sweet savor or the aroma is that the sacrifice is well-pleasing to the Father. Teach them. God is not pleased that sin demands death. He wasn't pleased that his son had to die for lost sinners. No, but he was pleased that his son's death satisfied the holy law of God and was acceptable and pleasing to him. You know something? God is not a monster. I heard someone actually call God a monster. I've actually seen it in writing lately, that some people say God is a monster. Who would kill his own son? In Leviticus was the sweet savor of the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gave his own son for you. The burnt offering pictures Christ's complete devotion to his Father. The meal offering signifies his perfection of character. The peace offering signifies his making peace between sinners and the Father. The sin offering and the trespass offering in Leviticus chapters 4 and 5 picture Christ taking the place of the sinner. They're not considered a sweet savor offering. Why? Because nothing is beautiful about sin. Granddad, Dad, we need to teach our children. We need to teach our grandchildren the terror and the problems with sin. Nothing is beautiful about sin. If we really walk in love, we will not disobey our Father or injure man. Because Romans 13:8 says, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 5:5 says, the Holy Spirit puts the love in our hearts. Next it says, walk in the light. And from verses 3 to 14, since it's God is light, it talks about him light, and we are to imitate him, then we should walk in the light and have nothing to do with darkness and sin. Now Paul gives three descriptions here of believers that prove his point. Number one, we are saints. Verses 3 and 4. Let's look at those verses again. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now Paul gives three descriptions here. And that's what is fitting? What is fitting for saints? We're set apart ones that what a saint is. We no longer walk in the darkness around us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we have been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. It is beneath the dignity of a saint to do the things that are listed here. He warns us against sexual sins and fornication and uncleanness. They were prevalent then, and they still are. And they even invade our homes. And they bring grief into the church. Covetousness may seem out of place next to sexual sin, but these two sins are but different expressions of the same wickedness and weakness in the fallen nature. An uncontrolled appetite, a fornicator, and a covetous person both desire to satisfy the appetites by taking something that does not belong to them. Boy, I so wish that my dad would have been saved when I was 6 instead of 16. I so wish I'd had some training that he could have given me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes." I wish he would have helped me with that. I wish he would talk to me about that. Paul said, don't even let there be a hint of this type of sin in your life. Ephesians 5, 4 says, he warned of sins of the tongue, which are really sins of the heart. It's not hard to see the relationship of the sins in verses 3 and 4, because people that have an appetite for base speech and humor are often the same ones that commit sexual sins and enjoy jesting about it. Two indications of a person's character is what makes him, here it is, I want you to listen to this, what makes him laugh or her laugh, and what makes him weep or her weep. I want to say that again. Two indications of a person's character is what makes them laugh and what makes them weep. I thought about that a lot this week. A true saint of God sees no humor in obscene, foul language. Dad, do you know those kids are watching? And you know, I'm one that gets carried away. I was a jokester when I was a kid. My mom and dad had some times they didn't speak to each other. I was the referee. My brother was older and he didn't care. But I was the clown. They called me the clown. I gestured. I did everything I could to make people happy. I'd go to great lengths. Foolish talking doesn't mean innocent humor, but it means senseless and cheap conversation that drags men down. Sometimes we get carried away with our jesting. Ephesians 4:29 says Paul is not condemning small talk, but foolish talk. That tears down and degrades. And the word jesting means to turn easily. That means small talk and can become foolish talk. And be turned easily. The gift of wit is a blessing. But when it gets attached to a filthy mind and a base motive, it becomes a curse. Have you ever been telling a story, trying to be funny, and you got carried away jesting? And it can turn into a very dim experience. Colossians 3:16 says, our speech should be seasoned with salt. For grace in the heart means grace on the lips. Colossians 4:6. The second description, number two, we are in a royal family. Did you know when you trusted Christ that you entered a kingdom? The kingdom of God. Verse 5, 6, and 7 here tells us sinners won't inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 5, 6, and 7 says, don't become partakers of God's wrath. You love Jesus. But we remember who he is. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered them and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that we are waiting the full revelation of his kingdom to when he returns. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So Paul made it clear in chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, that people who deliberately, persistently live in sin will not share in God's kingdom. And here's the key, as we're teaching, don't be fooled. Continuous sin without conviction equals a lost soul. I'll say that again. Continuous sin without conviction equals a lost soul. If you see one of your grandchildren get caught up in sin, granddad, you need to be there for that young boy or that young girl. Grandmoms too. They need your guidance. You know a whole lot more than they do about life. You know a whole lot more about where that ends. Galatians 5:21 says, they which practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't tell them, who will? A little translation here says whoremonger is from the word pornos, which we get pornography. It means one who practices fornication or illicit sex. The morally unclean and covetous will join the fornicators in judgment. And Paul equates covetousness with idolatry. This is not talking about occasional sin. It's talking about habitual sin. King David committed adultery and murder, but he repented. He went to God in ashes, in sackcloth and ashes, and God forgave him. And even David received discipline for his sin and much pain and agony right here with his family. Sin has eternal consequences, and it has earthly consequences. God judges sin wherever he finds it. He does not want to find it in his children. A Christian is not sinless, but he does sin less. And it should progress to less and less as we grow in the Lord. Look back at chapter 5 again. Look at verses 7 through 14. This is all about light. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes dark, you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is the shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paul says we are saints, we are kings. Now he says we're light, like our Father. These are verses that the main object of this passage. And Paul says, walk as children of the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is a parallel passage to this, and it explains the contrast that exists between the child of God and the unsaved. And Paul didn't say that we were once in darkness, but he said we were darkness. And now that we are saved, what communion does light have with darkness? Light produces a spiritual fruit, but darkness is unfruitful. It's impossible to be in darkness and light at the same time. Did you know that? Because light dispels the darkness. There is no darkness when light is there. Where do you see the dark? It's impossible to be in darkness and light at the same time. But light produces goodness, one of the fruits produced by the Spirit. And goodness is love in action. And righteousness means righteousness of character before God and righteousness of actions before men. It all comes from truth based on the Word of God. And Jesus talked a lot about light and darkness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." John 3:20 and 21 tells us to walk as children of the light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. It's easy to hide things from people because they can't see our hearts. But Hebrews 4:13 says, "All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." When you walk as a child of light, it means we reveal God's light to others by our conduct and our character. We bring God's light into a dark world. Just as a healthy person, you know, can nurse a sick person back to health, a true child of God can lead a lost person out of the darkness into the light. Light reveals God. Light produces fruit, but light also exposes what is wrong. And kids need to know wrong from right, don't they? No surgeon would willingly operate in the dark because he would certainly do major damage to the one he's trying to help. How could an artist paint a picture in the dark? I've seen a few that I think they tried it. The light reveals the truth and exposes the truth, character of the things. This helps us understand why unsaved people keep clear of the church and the Bible. No one likes to be exposed when they have something to hide. Jesus said He was the light of the world, John 12:46. He also said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." If you notice, Jesus had a way of every time He came around darkness, He exposed it. He even exposed the religious leaders that were walking in darkness. That's why they hated Him to come around. Only a few who really loved God wanted to know more. Jesus said in John 15:22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." Jesus exposed the darkness, and the light came in. It's kind of like when a healthy person goes into a hospital He unconsciously exposes those that are handicapped and sick in bed. So when a Christian truly lives the Christian life around lost people, he exposes darkness and sin that's around them. Paul says, "Walk in the light," and that's a positive thing. Then he balances that by saying, "Expose the wickedness of those in the darkness," in verse 11. Dads, granddads, we expose the unfruitful works of darkness and give light that brings fruit into the lives of our children and our grandchildren. I hope that this week and the next week, and I hope in my life I can take and be more focused on who I am and why I'm here. Just because we get older and we're retired and we don't have a job or whatever, and our garden's looking better, the garden of our life sometimes is full of fungus and lacking fertilizer, and they're not growing quite right. I know you love your grandchildren. I know you love your children. You know, we don't have to be negative. Sometimes we can just remember Sharon has her favorite friend was Chrissy Woolley. She's a woman that could come up to you and just be talking to you and tell you that you had done three things wrong and you were happy about it. Love covers a multitude of sins. But let's just do. Let's be the dads, the grandfathers we've been called to be. Are you with me? Are you with me? I hope you are. I hope I can do what the Lord wants me to do with whatever days on this earth I have left. Amen. The musicians would come. It's number 534. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I'm going to be up here and I'm going to take some time and I'm going to pray for my children and my grandchildren. If some of you men are you able to do that, you might want to come up here with me and join me and pray for your children and your grandchildren this morning. Amen. God bless you. Lead us.
Stand with me.